Special greetings to our listener. We are excited. It's that time again for GNC RN partnership with Heartlines to bring you valuable insights. You will remember last time that Craig promised that we'll bring a debt counselor. And I'm excited today that we have got one of the renowned debt counselors in the city of Durban. Romy Govenda will be talking to us today. She's got vast experience. She's a former banker, financial advisor, and debt counselor. So, Romy, can you greet our listener?
Hi, listeners. Thank you so much, Monica, for having me on the show also. It is wonderful to be back again.
Yes, you know, your idea came out last week when we were talking about using money valuable. And when we hit these points, and then Craig said, you know what, I think we need to bring a debt counselor here because we could see that people are swimming in debt, but they don't know how to move about. So can you tell us what happens if one skips a payment on a loan?
Okay, so Monica, what happens is when a person applies for a loan, they enter into an agreement with the credit provider. So the agreement is legal. It's a legally binding contract. It sets out all the terms and conditions of the contract, including the repayment arrangement. So if a person skips a payment or makes a short payment, they are actually in breach of the agreement. And in terms of the National Credit Act, a credit provider is at liberty to proceed with enforcement action against the consumer if they don't adhere to the repayment arrangement. So what this basically means is that the credit provider can now force the consumer to repay that debt. However, there are a number of steps to that actual enforcement process in terms of the NCA. It is a process. And it's important that consumers understand the process if they skip a payment or if they are late with a payment. So the first step would be the credit provider will try and get hold of the consumer within 20 days. So if you skipped your payment and you're like under 20 days late with your payments or in arrears with your payments, your credit provider is going to first try and get hold of you. Usually they try and phone you, or they'll send you SMSs. So in that, within 20 days, if they can contact you and get you to make an arrangement with them, then you're fine. As long as you're adhering to the repayment arrangement, you sort out the arrears, nothing will happen. But if you default on that agreement, then the credit provider is required to send, to proceed to step two. Now, step two is a letter of demand or a Section 129 letter. Now, it's important that consumers or listeners know that there are strict time frames within which your credit provider has to act if they're going to take enforcement action. This is also to protect themselves. This is all a part of the National Credit Act. So the processes, the time frames are dictated by the National Credit Act. So if you're 20 days in arrears, your credit provider is required to send you a letter of demand or that Section 129 letter. That letter, when you receive it, you have 10 days within which to act on that letter. That letter gives you the option to contact the credit provider and sort and make an arrangement to sort out that arrears, or you can just settle the arrears within that 10-day period. You don't need to contact anybody, but if you pay up the arrears in the 10-day period, that letter is null and void. Or you phone the credit provider, you make an arrangement, they could say, okay, we'll allow you 3 months to pay this debt. But you need to remember, if you exercise that option of paying it over 3 months, after that 3 month period, you're going to have to pay more towards your that debt than what you had originally agreed to. They could even make an arrangement and say, okay, you can skip this month, but you're going to have to pay extra over the next 3 months or over the next 6 months. So that is the second option you can exercise. And the third option is to go and see a debt counselor. Debt counselors now have to be registered with the National Credit Regulator also. So only a registered debt counselor can assist you then. So you have three options.
Well, Romy, just help us here. for a layman who doesn't understand all these terms, can we begin from the beginning? What is debt counseling?
Okay, so debt counseling is a debt relief mechanism which falls under the National Credit Act, which came into force on the 1st of June 2006. So the NCA is enforced by the National Credit Regulator. We refer to them as the NCR. So we often talk about the NCA and the NCR in the credit industry. Now they regulate the credit industry. And debt counseling is a relief mechanism that has come into play for us. As South Africans, we have this relief that we can look to if we are struggling to repay our debts or if we find ourselves in a position where we are over indebted. So debt counseling is actually intended to help people who are over indebted. It's a government initiative. It's a whole legal process, very structured, very regulated, and it can only be administered by people who are registered. Now, if you look around in the industry, we have lots of people who offer services that they are actually not authorized to offer. So it's important that listeners know, what is required and who they should deal with, who they shouldn't deal with. But debt counseling is a lifeline, especially now with COVID. You know, people have been really struggling. They've lost income. So they've become over indebted. And in order for you to qualify for debt counseling, you have to prove that you are over indebted. That basically means that the money you get every month is not sufficient for you to live off and to pay your bills and to meet all your obligations in time. So if you find yourself in a position where you are unable to meet all your financial obligations in the time when you're supposed to be meeting it, then you are considered to be over indebted and you should qualify for debt counseling as a relief that will assist you.
Well, you've said so much now, but I just want us to simplify it. How does it work so that a person can be able to follow you through? I know you've touched some of the areas, but just to simplify it for us.
Okay, so how it actually works is the consumer will approach a debt counselor. Now, very often you find debt counseling companies approaching consumers. And I'm cautioning listeners to be very wary. If somebody is phoning you and offering you a service, there should be some warning bells. So you know your position. You know if you are over indebted. You know if you are struggling to make ends meet. It's advisable for you to do some research. Go online, Google, check what debt counselors are out there. Now, the National Credit Regulator has got a website also. So you can go onto the National Credit Regulator's website and you can look and see where you can get help from. They've got a list of all the registered debt counselors. So you can find a debt counselor in your area. Even the debt counselors that are registered and that are on the National Credit Regulator's website, my advice would be for you to also just go onto Hello Peter and just check that there haven't been complaints lodged against this debt counselor, or see a debt counselor that has been recommended to you. Maybe a friend of yours has already been helped by a debt counselor and they haven't got any complaints. They recommend a debt counselor to you. Then you can go and contact that debt counselor. And what the debt counselor will require is, the other thing you need to look out for is, there's no upfront fees. If a debt counselor asks you for upfront fees, that should also be warning signs that something is not right. So in terms of the debt counseling process, you, the consumer, should approach the debt counselor. The debt counselor will explain the process to you, explain the costs and the fees to you, and then you need to fill out an application form. You send the application form to the debt counselor together with your salary advice, your last 3 months bank statements, and a copy of your ID. So all those documents have to be sent to the debt counselor prior to them being able to actually finalize anything for you. So then what the debt counselor will do once they receive this, your application and your documents, the debt counselor will do a quick assessment to see what your position is like. Part of that application process is you need to consent to the for the debt counselor to obtain your credit bureau report. Now, a debt counselor cannot just go and obtain information on you without your written consent. So it's important that you sign this document and you provide your debt counselor with a copy of your ID, because the debt counselor also gets audited and they have to prove that they are acting on your instruction. Now, Monica, what we found happening is that there's a number of companies out there who are placing clients under debt review. They're phoning clients and they're placing them under debt review, and the client is not aware that they've applied, that they are under debt review. Yeah, there's lots of horror stories out there. So consumers, you need to be very vigilant. You need to actually check what's happening. Go and see a reputable person, somebody that has been referred to you. And ask questions. Ask questions. If the debt counselor tells you, okay, you know what, I'm going to give you provide you with feedback in 2 weeks' time, and you don't hear back from that debt counselor within 2 weeks, you contact that debt counselor and find out, hey, what's going on? Now, onus is on you to make sure that everything is going according to plan, because this is a service that's being provided to you. You're paying for the service. So you're obliged to make that payment, but in return, you're supposed to be getting the service that you are paying for. So, yeah, debt counselor is entitled to charge fees, but the fees are regulated. They need to tell you upfront what the fees are going to be and how the fees are going to be paid. They'll explain the process to you. So talk to the debt counselor. Get anything that you don't understand, ask them questions. Don't just sign. Often they get you to tell you, oh, just sign on the dotted line and I'll get back to you. But you need to understand there are some documents that you have to sign and provide to the debt counselor before the debt counselor can actually go into your profile and obtain the information that they need in order to do an assessment on your situation and then provide you with feedback. Only after that happens, after they have that initial discussion with you and explain to you what their finding is, and then they will recommend. They'll say, hey, you know what, we found that, yeah, you are over indebted to the extent of, they'll tell you what amount. They'll say, okay, I will try and negotiate on your behalf with your credit providers to reduce your monthly installments and to get you protection in terms of the act and things. But then they'll say that, okay, then you need to authorize. You say, okay, fine, I'm happy. We've had this discussion. I'm happy with it. Please proceed with negotiations. Now, there are companies who don't give you that opportunity, don't explain things to you. They just go ahead and they just do what they feel like doing. And then you find weeks down the line, your name is under, you are under debt review, and things are just going all upside down. And you feel that the debt counseling process has failed you. It's not the debt counseling process that fails anybody. It's the person who is administering this function or providing this service. So be very careful. God has given us wisdom and power and a sound mind. So listeners, make sure that you do your homework. Do your homework. Don't go and just, and I know when we are struggling financially, we sometimes tend to be so desperate that the first person comes our way and, you receive this phone call and you say, oh, this is a godsend. Now there's a debt counseling company that's phoning me and offering to reduce my monthly installments. Hey, this must be God. And you comply and you give them everything and they just mess you around. So be very careful. There are people out there that could mislead you. And also go by your gut feeling. Don't just blindly just go and believe what anybody tells you. They must prove themselves to you. If you're paying somebody a fee, you need to make sure that you're getting the service that you are paying for.
Wow. Thank you so much, Romy, for this advice, which is so crucial. But now the question that I want to ask, who can apply for debt counseling?
Okay, yeah, that's a very good question, Monica, because not everybody can apply for debt counseling. A person who is unemployed and has absolutely no money to repay their debts, they cannot apply for debt counseling, unfortunately. So a person who is applying for debt counseling must be somebody who has an income. They could have, whether it's business income or whether they're employed and earning a salary, doesn't really matter. The person who qualifies for debt counseling is a person who, as I explained, is over indebted. It means that they are just struggling to make ends meet every month. It doesn't mean somebody who just got no money, they are unemployed, they got no money, they can't repay their debts, they can't put food on the table. Now, that person cannot apply for debt counseling. You know, if you got no money to live off, you can't pay your debts. How are you going to pay your debts if you got no money to put food on your table? So you need to have a certain amount of money. At least if in order for you to qualify for debt counseling, you have to have an income. Your debt counselor will sit with you. You need to work out a budget to see how much you earn every month, what your monthly expenses are, how much you got to pay towards your debts, your food and everything. So the important part of this whole debt counseling process is working out your budget. So the debt counselor will look at your budget and will be able to tell you, hey, no, okay, I can help you or I can't help you. So if you find that you're earning, say, 3,000 Rand a month and your rent is 2,000 Rand and you need food and your education, transport and everything else is another 1,000 Rand a month. So that 3,000 Rand is just enough for you to live off only. And if you've got debts, you can't say now, a debt counselor comes to you and tells you, hey, I can help you and reduce your monthly installments. Even if they reduce your monthly installments, that 3,000 you are earning is not even enough for you to live off. I can reduce your monthly installments to even 10% of what you're supposed to be paying. But if you don't have that 10% to pay back, then you don't qualify for debt counseling. So, and also you have to have a reasonable amount that you can pay back. So assuming you owe the bank's money and your monthly debt repayments are like, say, 10,000 Rand a month, and you work out your budget and you can't afford 10,000 Rand a month, but you can afford 7,000 Rand a month, I would say you are a good candidate for debt review. I'm sure if you worked out your budget, you find, hey, I'm struggling every month I'm 3,000 Rand short. How do I make ends meet, you know, with this 3,000 Rand short? You go and see a reputable debt counselor. That debt counselor will be able to reduce your monthly installments from 10,000 to 7,000. But if you were to go to a debt counselor and tell the debt counselor, hey, you know, my debt repayments are 10,000 Rand a month. I'm earning 15,000 Rand a month. I need 12,000 Rand to live off, and I only got 3,000 Rand a month left that I can pay towards my debts. Chances are that the debt counselor can't really help you, because to reduce your installments from 10,000 to 3,000 is like pushing it a bit. But if you speak to the debt counselor will be able to advise you and tell you, maybe you can cut down on your expenses. You know, if you can find a way to cut down on your expenses so that you can pay more towards your debts, because, you know, then I suppose that the debt counselor can assist you, but it will be a give and take. You're going to have to make some sacrifices, because some people feel that debt counseling actually takes away their debts or their financial obligations. Now, debt counseling is not meant to do that. It's meant to help you to reduce your installments to an affordable amount, an amount that you can afford to pay. But it also has to be an amount that your credit providers will be willing to reduce your installments to. It has to be reasonable.
Wow.
Does that answer that question?
It does. In fact, it's wide opening our minds, Romy, so much. You know, earlier on you mentioned that there is a fee, a regulated fee to debt counseling. What are those costs?
Okay, so I did tell you that the debt counselor is not supposed to take any money from you upfront. I'm not 100% correct there. A debt counselor is entitled to collect a 50 Rand application fee from you and a 300 Rand admin fee from you upfront. Now, most debt counselors, including me, I don't ask for those fees, but a debt counselor, those are the only fees they're entitled to ask for upfront. The rest of the fees are built into the debt counseling process. So, like, if you come to see me, I will do an assessment and I'll see, okay, like, you're earning 10,000 Rand a month. You need 7,000 Rand a month to live off, and you got 3,000 Rand a month to pay towards your debts. And if I look at your whole situation and I say, okay, now, Monica, I think I'm going to be able to help you. Assuming your debt repayments were 5,000 Rand. And you say, hey, Romy, every month I'm like 2,000 Rand short. can you help me? And I take in an application from you and I say, okay, right, Monica, you're earning 10,000 rand a month. You need 7,000 to live off. You've got 3,000 you can commit to paying towards your credit providers. I can help you. I will speak to your credit providers. We'll make a plan. We'll reduce your monthly debt installments to 3,000 rand a month. Now you need to pay that 3,000 rand towards your debts from the first month after you apply for debt review. So you apply for debt review at the beginning of the month. At the end of the month, instead of you paying 5,000 rand towards your debts, like your normal installments, you are required to pay the 3,000 rand that we agreed on. But you'll pay it via a payment distribution agency. Now, a debt counselor is allowed to, they charge fees. We've got the first month's installments is usually the debt counseling fee. So in this example, that first 3,000 rand will come to me as a fee, my debt counseling fees. Now, in this time, after you apply for the for debt review, I have 60 days within which I need to finalize negotiations on your behalf. And in the 60 days, you have protection in that your credit providers cannot take legal action against you. So after you apply for debt review, you have protection within 60 days. In that 60 days, your debt counselor is supposed to now finalize negotiations, and then you have continued protection after that because you've got a new arrangement in place. So you make your payment in the first month, and when we're still going back to the same first example, right? So it's Monica, you've come to see me, and we've worked out you can pay 3,000 rand a month. The first 3,000 rand is my fees. You make the payment to the payment distribution agency. The payment distribution agency will pay that money over to me. I'm not allowed to collect money from you. That's also because of fraud and money being misappropriated. So you have to make your payment via a payment distribution agency. No debt counselor is allowed to collect money from you. So then the second month, you pay your 3,000 rand again. From there, there'll be legal fees that will be deducted. So a consumer is entitled to pay the debt counseling fees, which is normally the first installment, but it is also capped. So assuming that some clients owe a lot of money and their monthly repayments are really high. So I've got clients whose debt repayments are like, say, 40,000 rand a month. And they come to me and we reduce their monthly installments to 25,000 rand. So the first month they pay the 25,000 rand. It doesn't mean the first 25,000 rand is my fees. Because our fees are regulated and it's capped. So the maximum a debt counselor can charge you, if you are one of these clients who has a hell of a lot of debt, is 9,000 rand if it's a joint application. So if you're married in community of property, then it's a joint application and the maximum fees, irrespective of, even if your repayment amount is brought down from 40,000 to 25,000 rand, the maximum the debt counselor can get paid is 9,000 rand. So you pay your first month's installment of 25,000 rand to the payment distribution agency. 9,000 from that will go towards a credit provider because you're married in community of property and this is a joint application. And then they will also deduct legal fees. The legal fees are not regulated by the National Credit Regulator. That falls under the Law Society, I think. But your debt counselor will be able to tell you what the legal fees are because the debt counselor has to go and get a court order in place for you once they've finalized all negotiations. So you'll be entitled to pay a debt counseling fee, legal fees. Then there will be a monthly fee, which is 5% of whatever amount has been agreed to. So if you're paying 3,000 rand a month, every month the debt counselor will get 5% of that. And you also pay payment distribution agents fees, which is tiered between up to 15 rand per transaction. So if you've got 5 debts that you are repaying and all those debts are over 500 rand a month that's being distributed towards each of those credit providers, you'll pay 15 rand for each of those. So it will be 15 times 5, which will be 60 rand a month. That will be your PDA fees. And as I said, 5%. Will be the debt counseling aftercare fees because the debt counselor is required to continue to provide aftercare services and take care of all your queries and monitor your accounts, your payments and everything during the whole duration of your debt review process. So those are basically the fees, but your debt counselor will have to disclose all your fees upfront, but they can never charge you more than your monthly installment. So if your monthly debt installments is 5,000 rand, that's the maximum they can charge. If it is 500 rand a month that you're paying towards your debt, the debt counselor can only charge you 500 rand for that first fee, the debt counseling fee. As I said, after that, it's 5% of that 500 rand that will go to the debt counselor, and then it will be maybe 15 rand for the PDA fees. Does it make sense?
It does, Romy. It does, especially because the information you are giving us now, it's not anywhere. This is the type of information where I call the school of life, that you know them when you hit the ground running. But I don't want to go back so much on that because of time. But my take now, Romy, is that we've had three pandemics in KwaZulu-Natal. I don't want to say in the country, but I'll be specific to KwaZulu-Natal. We had COVID. We had looting. We had just had the floods. And all these have left so many people unemployed. Now, what happens if a person is unemployed and has got a creditors that are knocking at their doors?
Unfortunately, Monica, with these people, debt counseling cannot help them. As I said, you have to be employed. You have to have a means, some income that can go towards your debts, and you'll qualify for debt counseling. But if you're unemployed, you're going to have to speak to your credit provider, let them know what your situation is. And worst case scenario, what will happen is if you really can't repay your debt, they most probably will give you a few months to see, 6 months maybe, to get a job, and then you can make an arrangement with them. But you'll have to make a direct arrangement with your credit providers. And worst case scenario, if you're unable to repay your debts, as I said, they will have to proceed with enforcement action, follow that whole legal process. Then it will also depend on the amount that you are owing. It's actually not worth the credit provider's while to take legal action against you if your debt is like a small amount. If you're owing 1,000 rand, a total of 1,000 rand, and like to Edgar's or something, and you're unable to pay that debt because you are unemployed, the chances of the credit provider actually going the whole route, the legal route, is not going to make sense, because it's going to cost them much more. In that case, what they most probably would do is write off your debt, write off the debt, and then they'll list you on the credit bureau, which means that later on, when you do get re-employed and you go and apply for a loan, you're not going to get a loan approved because you have a bad credit listing on your credit bureau. So that's the worst case scenario. That's what will happen is you get listed on the credit bureau, and that's going to stop you from getting loans. But at that stage, you can fix things again. If you got a job and you found that debts had been written off, and because your situation had changed, then at that stage, maybe you can approach a debt counselor again and say, hey, I was unemployed for 6 months. My debts were written off. This is what's happened. But now I've got a job and I want to get back on my feet. I want to clean up my credit records. I want to start off on a clean slate. A good debt counselor is going to be able to guide you and assist you to get back on your feet. And maybe at that stage, you can apply for debt review.
That's what I was coming to, Romy, because I wanted to find out what happens after debt counseling. But you are giving us another insight now. I think next time we'll have to talk about our writing off debts. There's a number of points that you have mentioned, but because we wanted to focus this discussion today on debt counseling, so I didn't want to go that route. Just in closing, just tell us what happens then after debt counseling.
Okay, so a client who's successfully gone through the debt counseling process, in terms of the debt counseling process, we have an arrangement in place. So we have an agreement where, assuming you're going to pay 3,000 rand a month for for 36 months and all your debts are going to be settled, and you pay your 3,000 rand a month. At the end of the 36 months, you've adhered to the arrangement. So your debts are settled in that time. The debt counselor will obtain paid up letters from your credit providers, and the debt counselor will issue a clearance certificate, and you will be removed from debt review. So your credit bureau records will all be updated also. Any notation pertaining to the debt review will be removed from your part of the clean slate. This is all part of the debt review process, where you start off with, on the wrong foot maybe, and then you go through the entire process, and then you start off with a clean slate, and you can become credit active again after that. So you can borrow money. Once you're under debt review, you're not allowed to borrow money during that period. But once you've settled all your debts, the debt counselor will issue the clearance certificate, notify all the credit bureaus. They will update all your records. And then after that, you can go back and you can borrow money again. But hopefully at that stage, my prayer is that you're not going to just go and borrow money, for silly reasons, like to go and buy clothes or to go and buy groceries or booze and things like that. Then you're going to use debt maybe to buy a house, buy a car, or start off a business or something. You'll have good debts. Instead of having these bad debts, where you find that you've taken the money, you spent the money, and you got nothing to show for it at the end of the day. So this whole debt counseling process should actually be also part of educating you as to how to use debt wisely, because debt can be a very, very bad thing. Borrowing money can really, you can drown in debt, but also in some cases, debt is good. You unfortunately, we can't all just go out there and buy everything cash. I wish we could go and buy a house cash, but how many people can go and buy a house or a car cash? And we need a house. We need that security. We need that comfort. The same with the car. We need a car in order to get out to work, to earn that income. So there's sometimes when you need to take a loan. And when you've come out of this debt counseling process, hopefully you would have learned. And so the company is Finesse Financial Solutions. I'm the only registered debt counselor here, and I am Romy Govender or Romy Wilkin. My telephone number and WhatsApp number, cell phone and WhatsApp number is 084-250-2356. I'll repeat that. It's 084-250-2356. My landline number is 031-303-3690. You can also find me on the website, which is debtfinesse.co.za. That's www.debtfinesse.co.za. Or you can email me at romi@debtfinesse.co.za. That's R-O-M-I-E at D-E-B-T-F for Freddy, I-N-E-S-S-E.co.za. As I said, Monica, I am available on the internet, also on my website. I think it's also important for me to give you, the listeners, the NCR's website address, so that they can go and find out for themselves also. And all this information I've provided you, I think you'll be able to find most of this information on the NCR's website. So they are www.ncr.org.za. So, yeah, it's advisable to go onto the NCR's website, and also phone the listeners. Feel free to phone the NCR to find out, even if you want information on a debt counselor. Remember, debt counselors, even credit providers, are registered with the NCR. So if you're not, you're doubtful, or you want to just make sure that it is a legitimate person and there's no complaints against them, you can phone the NCR and ask them. I think their number is 0860-628-628. It's difficult to get through to them, but you can go online and you can, send through, contact, I think. Be vigilant and stay safe.
Thank you so much. May God bless you.